Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. Coming up, a random knife giveaway on Thursday Night Knives this week. Knife Rights starts their Ultimate Steel fundraiser, and then we take a look at knives that should be in the movies.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. My favorite comment from this past week was from Lone Wolf. He said, shouldn't the Kaiser Aggressor be an 8-plus-inch sub-hilt fighter? Talk amongst yourselves. A knife like this. I agree. I've mentioned this before. Kaiser has one knife called the Assassin, which is a very nice looking, small, discreet EDC folding blade. And this one, the new one, the Aggressor, it's quite a nice looking front flipper, is also kind of not very assassin-y or aggressive. It is also a 3-inch blade. And it got me thinking, like, why go out of your way to name these little EDC knives? Potentially incriminating names. And then I realized after doing a little bit of research that Assassin Knives, the designer of both the Kaiser Assassin and the Aggressor, are from Armenian custom knife maker Arsen Arsenjan. And then it clicked. I'm like, okay, it's a little bit different because it's coming from a different language. In our country, we're always worried about getting sued. And if you're in the courtroom and they're like, and what were you carrying in your pocket? The Kaiser Assassin. What was that, sir? The Kaiser Assassin. The Assassin, you say? So Kaiser Aggressor, I do agree, should be an 8-plus-inch sub-hilt fighter. All right, talk amongst yourselves. Thank you so much, Lone Wolf, for the comments and everyone else out there. We will be talking about the Aggressor in Knife Life News as they have a very nice offering in that blade for all to enjoy. All right, all that being said, I think it's time for a pocket check. In the front right pocket today was one I haven't carried in a little while, which is the Emerson Tiger. One of my favorite Emersons for EDC. It's got the amazing handle of the CQC-13, so ergonomic and encapsulating, with that big bird's beak at the pommel and the deep finger groove up front, and a really great finger guard in case you are thrusting forward. This knife, when it first came out, was Ernest Emerson's EDC as well, for what that's worth. You know, he can carry whatever he makes, right? And this is what he chose. I really love that clip point blade. It reminds me of a broader version of the CQC-8, the banana blade. And very, very generous wave will always catch the pocket with waved knives in general, but especially ones with these big waves like this. If you don't want to wave it out of your pocket, you better be damn sure to cover the blade like this with your finger. Otherwise, it will open up, even if not on the seam of your pocket, but on the innards of your pocket, you know, the inside part. Anyway, had the Emerson Tiger on me. Front right pocket. I had, of course, a slip joint on me today, and it was the new Jack Wolf Knives Feel Good Jack. Here it is. I always feel it necessary to open this in front of the mic, so I'm going to do that. Such great walk and talk. This one especially, they all have great walk and talk. And of course, the more you carry them, and the more, you know, micro dust and stuff that gets in the pivot, the less crispy it is until you flush it out. So yes, it is new, so it has incredible walk and talk, but this one in particular, I feel like I say that every month, is especially, nice. It's got the blue carbon fiber, Arctic Storm blue carbon fiber, beautiful titanium frame, and just a very, very nice, sheep's foot blade. I love the acute angle on the tip, more so than on the Midnight Jack, another one that I love. With that nice worn cliff on there, or I should say sheep's foot. Okay, so fixed blade on me, of course, as always. Today it was the Nova 1. It's exciting. I was talking to Matt. Of course, he's getting ready for a blade show And so the production of these has been on hold for the last week as he's been readying the stuff that's going out to Blade Show. But they're coming along nicely. They're all cut out, and I believe they're all beveled. A process he does by hand. I love this knife. As you know, I have been carrying TKELs recently and kind of put this aside as this was my obsessive kind of 24/7 carry for several months there. And having it back in the waistline now up front in the appendix carry in the waistband, I just remember how much I love this, and I'm looking forward to the Nova 2, which will have a different style blade. You can probably imagine what that'll be. Okay, and then lastly, for emotional support and clickety-clackety and fidget, was the CJRB Pyrite. I just love this knife. I love it so much, and this particular version of it is probably the most vanilla of them all. Comes in stainless steel. It comes in different covers, and then, of course, all black with the Warncliffe blade, and that Warncliffe on the Pyrite has the perfect forward angle, if you ask me. It hovers there right between utility and tactical, and that's my favorite. A friend of mine at work, a non-knife guy, though he has bought an Emerson from me because he's related to the family, bought a Pyrite Warncliffe all black and showed it off to me because I showed him this and he loved it so much. He was looking to get a tactile Rockwall, and it was just too much bread, you know. He's not a knife collector, so I what about this Pyrite? And he really liked it, and then I showed him the other options and he dug it. Anyway, it feels good. It feels like I'm a missionary for the cause, one person at a time getting a nice knife. So there you go. That was my pocket check for today. Let me know what you had in your pocket. Drop it down in the comments below. Okay, still to come on the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at a couple of new releases in the knife world, plus some exciting knife rights news. And then after that, we'll take a look at knives that I think should be in movies.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife. And we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit theknifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at theknifejunkie.com/knives. That's theknifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Boker Knives is re-releasing its popular Accomplice. This is a knife designed by John Gray that was out a few years ago and then was discontinued. Well, it's back. And now it's in D2 as opposed to the old 14C. This is an interesting knife because I'm starting to look at ring knives again as I carry the TKEL Night Stalker quite a bit. John Gray, first of all, I love his designs. And this is a pretty cool one in that I like that drop point blade. It is functional and utilitarian looking without being, but it's a little funky. And then he's got the ring with the screwdriver on the end of it. Now, I like the utility and I like the concept, but I look at that ring and I think it's really going to mess with the alignment of your fingers. It's just not offset enough from the handle. But I bet it's comfortable to use without the ring. Anyway, they are re-releasing this. It is out now. You can carry it on your belt or neck. And, well, I like it because it's a John Gray design that's coming back into production. And I like it when the knife makers get the mailbox money, as Bob Terzuola called it. So, good for him. And, if you like your EDC, fixed blades, 3.25 inches is a great range for a very carryable fixed blade knife. You know that when it comes to folders, I like larger blades than that, but for carrying a fixed blade knife, that's a perfect size. All right, next up, the Kaiser Aggressor. We were talking about that before. Well, Kaiser's doing something pretty cool here in that it is bringing its new Aggressor model to the market in two different variations. The one on top you see here is with 154 cm blade steel in a stonewash finish with burlap micarta. And then the one below, that's coated 3V blade steel with maroon rich light micarta. So two really great combinations, first of all. Let me just say, in terms of aesthetics, two great colorways, if you will. I'm not a huge fan of the knife itself. I think it's very, it is simple and plain in a way that doesn't resonate with me. But I do respect the simple and plain part, and it's nice and sleek. And I bet the way Kaiser makes it, it is incredible. But the fact that you can get a 3V folder, in this Kaiser Aggressor for $89 is pretty impressive. For me personally, the only reason I would get that one is for the looks, because frankly, I don't know if I would ever be able to tell the difference between 154 and 3V, unless I'm sharpening it. But in terms of cutting, with the amount I use and the way I rotate my knives, I'm not sure that 3V would play into it. Plus, I know 3V to be a steel known for its toughness. And, that to me says blade, woodcraft knife. That says chopper. That says, large outdoor knife as opposed to small EDC folder. But hey, if you're a steel person and you love collecting steels, what a great option Kaiser is giving. And also, if you're a hard user of knives, but you can only carry around a just sub 3-inch folder to do your hard work with, that's a pretty awesome option. All right, so that is from Kaiser, the Aggressor. Again, from Armenian custom knife maker Arsen Arsenjan, and he goes by Assassin Knives. So maybe a slight language thing there. All right, next up, Knife Rights starts the Ultimate Steel Fundraiser. Okay, we talk about this every year, and it's very exciting to see it happening. And I feel like they just closed it, but that's how fast time is moving these days. So they're starting this up, and again, the way the Ultimate Steel works is that for every donation during the Ultimate Steel, each donation is awarded points, basically. And the more you donate, the more points you get. And those points go into a drawing of some of the most amazing knives. And you get to choose also some Brian Fellholter, Steve Gatlin, Jerry Hassam. They're some of the, custom knife makers who have already donated their knives. Chris Reeve, Demko, Three Rivers. And then if you are donating in a lower, realm, you stand to win either a Spyderco, that one that's up top there, or a SOG, just as a, thank you. And, I have one from a couple years ago, a SOG. I always end up giving too late, and then they're already out of those things. So if you do the early bird, you can really stand to win something fantastic. And if you've ever been to Blade Show, which is coming up even tomorrow, if you've ever been to Blade Show and you go to the Knife Rights booth, you'll see everything that they're giving away. And it's amazing. People are so generous with them because for the past 15 years, since 2006, they have been fighting the good fight. And they have gotten laws changed in some 27-plus states. I mean, 27 is an old number at this point. So definitely keep your eyes peeled on that and give. And another great way you can help the Knife Rights effort is to go to Knife Works, where you can buy the Hoag Ritter, the Ritter Hoag RSK Mark I and Mini RSK Mark I. These are the Ritter Griptilian, so to speak, made by Hoag. Now, when you buy those knives, that money helps support Doug Ritter, who is the man, you know, who's not making any money, killing it with changing the knife laws in all the states. So buy a knife from him or donate money to Knife Rights, especially during the Ultimate Steel, because you stand to get some great stuff in return, and everyone benefits. So again, thank you, Doug Ritter. And speaking of Doug Ritter and Knife Rights, I just wanted to show the last little item in Knife Life News. In Louisiana, we've had a couple of knife stories just like this recently. Knife Rights supported Louisiana Constitutional Carry Bill HB 131, which includes knives, was passed by the House by a bipartisan vote of 71-39. All quote-unquote weapons, including knives, are covered by the bill. The The bill now moves to the Senate. So that's pretty exciting. And Doug says here, we think the primary sponsor for ensuring this bill covers all weapons includes knives. We work tirelessly to persuade legislators that constitutional and permitless carry isn't just about firearms or handguns. The Constitution doesn't say firearms, it says arms. Our knives are arms protected by the Second Amendment. Thank you, Doug Ritter. Love it. So we'll have him back on the show sometime soon. We have him usually on the show once a year or so. And it's always great to catch up with him. And not only is he doing great stuff, but he's just a cool dude. And I love hanging out and talking with him. All right. Coming up on the Knife Junkie podcast, we're going to take a look at three knives that I might take to Blade Show. I'm flying again this year. Therefore, I am not taking a bundle of my nice knives. As a matter of fact, I'm taking one. It's going to be a folder and it's getting packed. So you're going to help me figure out which one I bring. All right. That's coming up on the Knife Junkie podcast.
Don't take dull for an answer. It's the Knife Junkie's favorite sign-off phrase, and now you can get that tagline on a variety of merchandise, like a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, long-sleeve tee, and more, even on coasters, tote bags, a coffee mug, water bottle, and stickers. Let everyone know that you're a Knife Junkie and that you don't take dull for an answer. Get yours at theknifejunkie.com/dull and shop for all of your Knife Junkie's merchandise at theknifejunkie.com/shop.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
So before I get into these three knives that I'm going to choose one to take to Blade Show, I just want to show that tomorrow night on Thursday Night Knives, we're going to be giving away a knife. I like doing these random knife giveaways. It's a little different from the Gentleman Junkie giveaways. And we are going to be giving away this Migueron Acri 2 on Thursday Night Knives tomorrow night. And it is a beauty. I love this thing. This was donated to the channel by Dave of This Old Sword Blade Reviews. And the funny thing about this knife is that it has been given away twice and has gone unclaimed twice. And both times I was like, this is a sign that it belongs in my collection. But I never quite went there. I left it in the box and thought, you know, I just don't need another knife that I'm not going to carry. And the reason I wouldn't carry this is just because I got a lot of other knives that are begging to be carried. So we're going to give this beauty away. Crowned spine, really nice in the hand, beautifully contoured G10. And the only place I've ever seen gold, highlights that actually look cool. I think it's a rare thing. I think gold, even gold jewelry to me tends to look cheap. I don't know why. I've just never been a gold guy, in terms of wearing it. And, but here it looks tuxedo-like. To me, this looks like a formal wear, like light duty, tactical, heavy duty gentleman's knife. Front flipper. And, okay. So I just wanted to let you know, tune in tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, we'll be giving this away probably around 10:15 or something like that. So come tune in, Migueron Acri giveaway. All right. Okay. So as I mentioned, flying. So last year I flew to Blade Show and I only brought one knife and I was thinking, I'll bring that one again and it'll be a tradition. But then I thought I have a lot of other great knives in this realm, and that is inexpensive, really well made knives that wouldn't break my heart if TSA took them. Of course, it would make me mad, but it wouldn't be irreplaceable or difficult to replace either. So this is the Kubi Flash, and this is the one that I brought last year. This is my first Kubi, and so I have, I guess, three Kubi knives now, and I like them all, and they're really well done. But this one just really sang to me the design of it, so I purchased it, and it is a really great knife. 4 inches, that's D2 blade steel, and I really like their branded pivot. I wish that their branded pivot precluded the branding on the blade, but I love the branded pivot there. I love that it's black. It's like that on all three of them that I have. And just a great solid knife with great action. $40. So if I lose it, I'll buy two more, you know? No, if I lose it, I'll get another one. It's not a huge deal. And I was inspired by Dirk Wernan in this. Dirk If you follow him, he's an awesome dude. And he's got some extremely high-end custom knives. And he likes to post stories on Instagram when he travels. And he doesn't travel with those expensive knives. And he traveled with a Kubi. And I thought, that's a great idea. So anyway. So next up, let's take a look at the second one. This is a new one that I showed off last week that I've been carrying quite a bit. This is the Civivi Synesis in 14C28N blade steel, a beautifully thin, slicey, like high height, flat ground clip point blade or Bowie blade. And it has that very sort of Sencut look or Civivi look with the swoop up right at the crest of the clip and a full bellied blade. So a full-bellied blade, but with a slight downward positioning, with the tip slightly below center line, which is nice for utility, and then that whole belly there mostly presented against the material. So this is a really good long cutter through, say, cardboard and stuff. I am not going to be doing that at Blade Show, but it is a stylish knife. Inexpensive and in my taste realm, you know, so it's a nice kind of knife to carry around. Same thing with this. Nearly 4 inches, Bowie, Warncliffe, two of my favorite styles there. And both have a fidget factor, which could be important. But thirdly here, if we're going to talk fidget factor, it's got to be the Mad Tonto by Kaiser Knives. I love this thing. Kaiser Knives and Damn Designs. Adrian D'Souza, you can see his design language all over this thing, especially in that broadly shaped handle, the hexagonal pivot, and that beautiful drop point tanto. What a nice tanto that is, because it brings that tip center line so you can use it more like a Warncliffe. And then you've got that, you've got full access to using this front portion, which is flat ground, and then this back portion, which is so very thin and slicey, is hollow ground. And then you could just do this all day. So if you need something to cover all the bases, I think all three of these will do it. I'm just not sure which one is going to come with me to Blade Show. First year I went down there, I drove, and so I brought a whole bunch of knives. I'm like, oh, what if I bump into Ernest Emerson? I better have an Emerson. And then, oh, what if I bump in? And so that's how I packed. And so I had like 50 knives, all very expensive. And I toted them around in my backpack. And I'm like, what am I doing? What, you know, am I going to stop someone and say, hi, how you doing? I got your knife in my... So that's, I don't know, first year folly, I guess. So with the flight comes one knife because I can only stand to lose one, and it'll be one of these three. I will update you. I know you'll be on tenterhooks the entire time. All right, now I want to talk about some knives that are very cinematic to me that should appear in movies because we oftentimes see a lot of the same things. It's like prop masters don't oftentimes dive in too deep to the knives that are featured in their movies. It's with some, exceptions, you know, John Wick, was pretty good. A True Detective was great with knives. But, you know, a movie like John Wick or John Wick 1, 2, 3, John Wick has an awesome knife and then everyone else kind of has an okay knife or straight up like the karambits that were used in John Wick 3. Those were, United Cutlery. They're sort of flashy looking, but anyone who knows that those two assassin brothers would have something a little sweeter than that. Anyway. Okay. So here's the first one here. I want to bring this up. This is not on the list, but this is the relative to one that's going to be on the list. And we saw this knife. This is the large Espada cold steel full dress. We saw this knife in with the older blade, the Expendables. Mickey Rourke had it in his boot. He pulled it out and threw it across the room and buried it deep in through a dartboard and into the wall. Pretty impressive knife throwing and a very cinematic knife. A great choice for that. And I remember thinking that would have been great a great choice to have as a theme, as like a character knife. Because all these movies, the Expendables included, they have character knives. Like the Rambo knives are characters in and of themselves. So this one would make a good character knife. And I kind of feel that way about all of these. Okay, so the first one on the list, if you haven't guessed by now, is the Cold Steel XL Espada. Now, this thing at 7.5 inches with a giant handle and all these different ways to grip it. I mean, this is made for the movies. Look, imagine someone coming out here. I'm going to go to the main camera here because it's so big. Imagine someone coming out with two of these and holding it like a sword and doing, having some sort of a fight in a movie with these things. This would be very cool. This could be a character knife for sure. Something that a Schwarzenegger type pulls out, you know, to save the day. And it's frequent. My wife and I kind of have an unofficial list, but it's frequent in movies that a folding knife saves the day. Oftentimes, mostly it's a folding knife. This is the folding knife to beat the band. So why is it not in any movies? All right. Yes, I will be your prop master, your knife prop master, to all of you Hollywood executives who are watching. Okay, next up is a folder that I could see saving the day, but it's on the opposite end of the spectrum. That's something that I thought when I first got this. I was like, this is a mini assassin. This is a mini tactical knife, and that is the Bihai by Microtech. I mean, look at the difference. Very big difference. Okay, so this is a beautiful little knife based on the Palulu flower petal. And it is a wicked, that's like a way to pretty it up, but it's a wicked, nasty hawkbill blade that you could very easily hide and very easily save the day with. If you could pull this out and cut yourself from restraints, I mean, I'm talking about in movies, of course, or have it like this and take swipes or have it like this hidden and just, you know, I don't know. But this little guy could save a life in a movie. Now, what it really reminds me of is that story about, I think it was Colonel Rex Applegate, if I'm not mistaken, who was, at the time he was doing law enforcement on the U.S. border and was led into the desert to be killed. And he had like a very small pocket knife on him with a sub 2-inch blade, I believe it was, and was able to, slash the throat of one of his captors with it and gain control of his weapon and gain control of the situation. And I always thought that was cool. Like, you don't need much if you've got, yes, the training, but also the will and the calm and the, you know, ever enduring hope that you're going to prevail and knowledge that you're going to prevail. And something as small as this could change the tide. So I would love to see this one in a movie also because it's very, very pretty. As is its brother from the Bouquet series, the Strelit, all designed by Polish maker and designer Ostap Hel. Next up, this would be one that I would want to see in the hands of some cool kind of undercover detective guy in a movie he would have to be some sort of hard-boiled detective type. And this would be his knife carry. And it would kind of also show what a badass he is and how he's going for effect and he's going for results. Okay, so this would be the Emerson Elvia. Of course, it would be this one in particular with those beautiful Tom Engelson made contoured maroon micarta scales and that quick opener on the back, and now I'm forgetting who I bought that from. But what a cool knife this would be in the hands of someone who's, you know, an undercover type. I keep thinking True Detective because True Detective had some really great knives in it, including an Emerson CQC7 used to pry open a window, I believe. But this one is just so wicked looking, and it really belies the character of the user. Because that is someone who uses that is willing to go all the way and be an absolute monster because the techniques that you use with that style blade are horrifying. You know, it's not like, if you think about it, all knife fighting is, but this is particularly, nasty. And if you want some idea of the theory behind it, listen to this week's interview with Ryan Atkinson, Fieldworks. He talks a lot about the theories behind Libre knife fighting and this kind of Pikal style fighting. So I would love to see this in particular, the Emerson, the folder. You know, Pikals are great, but it'd be cool to see a folding Pikal. Okay, next up is this. This is the Black Rock Monkey Thumper. This one could be cool in the hands of some sort of martial artist commando, because you have the amazing handle. The ring is so good on this, and again, it's not something that I frequently say, but this it keeps your fist aligned, but it also has pain compliance capabilities with the points there. It also allows for a lot of quick arresting. If you're flipping it around, whoosh, you can stop it at this pinch point here with these flats. Also, it makes for a great knife without the ring in standard position, standard grip here. So this would be great in a movie because of its versatility. The main character who uses this could easily be a villain's knife, actually. But could use it in reverse grip, flip it around, do all the impressive stuff. So that people are, oh my God, that knife. That's amazing. But also, has the looks. It's a very good looking knife. And then with all of that rock pattern on the blade itself and the double edge, it just has a great look. And I think it would work best in the hands of a villain. I've just come to that conclusion. Black Rock Monkey Thumper. If you like this knife, but don't want to pay the custom bill or have no interest in the custom, you can get this from Fox Knives. They make a version of this Monkey Thumper. Same size, a little less detailed. In other words, doesn't have the rock pattern on the flats. And I can't remember what the handle's like. And the blade is all black. And of course, I had to order the secondary edge. So you won't be getting those things on it. But it's a great knife. And it's, though it has the ring, you could use it without the ring. And that's how I use it. It's a really nicely shaped handle. Next up. Okay. So again, this is someone hard boiled, of course. But this knife to me and probably all arcane designs, very cinematic in look. And that is partially by design. I mean, Israel Backus of Arcane Designs is really into sci-fi and is really into futuristic novels and movies, and a lot of that goes into these designs. Like, then look at the pocket clip here. You have a something that looks a bit like a Tesla coil or something, making that kind of noise. And then just look at the clip. Look at the. It looks kind of like a spaceship. All faceted and beautiful. But the thing about this is that it's double-edged. So extra menace. It's a double-edged dagger, not something most people know exists. And I gotta say, like, maybe most people don't even think about. So they might not even notice the coolness of having a double-edged folding dagger, were it to appear in a movie. But I know I would. And this list is for me and you and folks like us. So don't you agree that the Arcane Designs dagger, I can't really fold it with my left hand very well, would make a great, great, and this is called the antimatter, would make a great movie knife. Slightly futuristic, maybe kind of like a Blade Runner-y, or maybe not that futuristic, but iRobot, something, in the future, but they're still using non-laser blade knives. This would fit right in. All right, so that is the Arcane Designs antimatter. Next up, another folder. We got a couple more folders, and then we get to some big fixes. Right here, this is the Knight's Elements. I think Fox makes this now, but this is the Fox made this then too, but I think this is now branded under Fox. But this is when it was Elements, Tactical Elements, and Jason Knight, made by Fox, the MK Ultra. Okay, now that we got all those naming conventions out of the way, a beautiful, in my estimation, the best looking and most faithful to the form folding kukri out there. is this MK Ultra. Beautiful handle, very comfortable. I love the micarta on this. Of course, it's a titanium frame lock, N690 blade steel, as you might expect from an Italian knife. Incredibly sharp, but that shape, look at this. I mean, this is definitely something a space merc, or, you know, doesn't even have to be space, that a mercenary might pull out and use and threaten someone with. He might even hold it like this in reverse grip up to someone's throat and issue a threat before he walks off and folds it, because he's not totally heartless, but he needs to make his point. Yeah, that would be this. That would be this knife. This is a great cutter. I know it looks very tactical, because it is very tactical, but this might be one of your best utility knives ever. You've got the point down at the bottom, you know, way down low, so it's very easy to do draw cuts and utility cuts. You have this incredible recurve here. If you're cutting cord or going through cardboard, you have, you know, a full 3.5 inches before you need to worry about the curve out. Yeah, this would just make a great utility knife. All day long in the backyard, pruning stuff. This would be great for these kind of pull cuts. You get behind the vine, you pull towards you, or roses or whatever. So not only a great movie knife, but a great practical knife. But I mean, yeah, I just think the shape of it is arresting and unusual, especially to those who are non-knife people, aren't used to that dramatic kukri shape. Yeah, this would add a bit of menace. You know, we can, what I'm trying to say is, like, we can start veering away from the Spyderco Police. I do love that model. We can start veering away from lots of knives, and start checking out the wide world. All right. This is to you, prop masters. Check out the wide world of knives. It's pretty awesome. Like this one. This would be cool in the hands of Arnold or someone large. This is the big Dragotad. Say a modern space Viking. I keep going to space. We don't need to go to space. A modern, I know. It's a fish out of water story, and it's a Viking who finds himself in modern day Manhattan, and his old sax turns into this folding knife. It's kind of a hilarious movie, but, you know, it's the Viking in Manhattan story. But he does have a cool sax on him. This thing has great visual drama is what I'm trying to get at, because it's got that straight sax-like blade with the sort of very basic triangular pointy tip, but it's got this really cool curved pistol grip. So depending on how you hold it, it changes the whole shape of how the knife looks. And so I think this one would be a very cool thing that, you know, EDC for Thor or someone like that. Though I'm not talking the Marvel Thor. I don't talk about Marvel. Titanium with this sort of turn lock. What is that called? Roto block, I believe it was called. Very, very cool knife. I must say, I just made a comment about Marvel. I would not mind to have those six blades embedded in my forearm, though. Like Wolverine. Pretty cool. They have re-released this. They re-released this 2 years ago. It now has a contoured front scale like the regular Dragotac, and has the same sort of milling pattern as opposed to this flat peel ply texture. So that is the Bastinelli Big Dragotac. All right, next up, a fixie here. We have the Topps Knives Backbite. This one is very cool, very different, very weird. Designed by a Russian, I think, Sistema guy or Russian Special Forces dude. And it's to be used in this Pikal fashion. You've got this, like, very, very obtuse chisel ground edge here, which, you know, it's not totally chisel ground. It has a relief edge on the back. But this, if you were to use this percussively on someone's forearm or something like that, the back of the hand, that would produce a very gaping, wide, nasty gouge, split cut kind of nastiness here. Same thing with this hooking portion on the back. Why in a movie? Because it's unusual and weird looking. It actually looks like a Klingon implement. And it would be cool to see the fight that would ensue from the use of this knife. Say a guy has his knife in standard grip, and he's fighting, you know, with a dagger in forward grip, and then his opponent, maybe it's the hero, maybe it's the bad guy, has this in reverse grip. Like, how cool would that knife fight scene look? Because this is going to have trapping. This is going to have Pakal style thrusting. This is going to have use of that forward scoop. It's going to make for some very, very interesting fighting, especially against another knife, but in a different style of fighting. So, yep, this is cool. This is the Backbite. This was donated to the channel by Dave, This Old Sword, Blade Reviews. Very cool knife. All right, next up, this is a good one. I don't know exactly who would carry this, but it's the Pinkerton Knives Cave Bear. Sorry about that. A little brain lock there. This is a double-edged Nitro V, perfectly ground by hand. Dirk Pinkerton is amazing at grinding a knife. He's not just amazing at designing production knives, but man, his custom work is incredible. But look at how cool this knife is. It is truly a claw, and it's got that upward extending point so that when you're punching or hitting, you don't have to alter your wrist to get the point right where it needs to go. You got two edges. If you hold it like this, it looks a bit like a Middle Eastern, like a shortened jambaya, I think it is. But when you turn it like this, it's Pakal all day long, forward and backward. Again, this double-edged Pakal style would make for an incredible fight because, first of all, Libre fighting and Pakal style fighting is very cool and very fast. But a lot of it doesn't account for a sharpened front edge. So that would incorporate some of the more, some other sort of Filipino style, reverse grip fighting. So you add that to the Pakal style, sort of Libre style, you would have a very cool fight. With that handle, I don't know. It's a happy person because I love this happy micarta, that orange and red. It's so, I always think kind of Ronald McDonald. It's very cheery. And then you have that menacing black double-edged claw there. It's a good contrast. So maybe someone like, Who's the one with the baseball bat? Who's the female superhero with the baseball bat? She might benefit from a knife like that. All right, three more grand fixies to bring it on home. This one, gift from my brother. I don't know how well it's going to fit under the knife cam. This is the Cold Steel Chaos Kukri. All right, so the Chaos series. Ah, look at that, it fits. The Chaos series. I'm just going to put this down. All have this same handle. So Cold Steel makes the Chaos series in a Tanto blade, in a double-edged dagger blade, in a large clip point blade, and then here, the Kukri blade. And this is my one and only Cold Steel Kukri, and I love this thing. And you know, it's obvious why this would make a great movie knife. You've got the knuckle duster here. Imagine a large, you know, bad guy, this would definitely be a large bad guy's knife. And there would be plenty of scenes, and the first one, people would laugh, but where he would pull this knife out and scare the crap out of here. I'm gonna come over here. Pull this knife out, scare the crap out of the person he's going to assail, boom, but then he would punch him in the face and just knock him out. But this aluminum knuckle bow is a crusher. It is so nasty. I mean, it's really, really stout and strong, and then it has this big nut on the end, also pointed, very much like the nut on the tip of that 1918 trench dagger. Just, this thing is built for chaos, as it says, but I think personally, besides the double-edged dagger, I think that this Kukri makes the most sense, the Kukri blade with this handle. It would also take a large bad guy or a large person to wield this for long periods of time because that cast aluminum handle is heavy. And, you know, the blade is very forward heavy. So after a while, you might need some relief. All right. So that is the Cold Steel Chaos Kukri, you know, basically made for the movies, designed for the movies. Whoops. Anyone remember Cobra? Sylvester Stallone Cobra, that Cobra knife. That looks very cool. All right, second to last knife here. This is low-hanging fruit. This is the Predator Hunter, the Work Tough Gear Puzon Predator Hunter. Now, you might say, Bob, that's already appeared in a movie. And I would say, beta of you, I sort of agree. So this is the Work Tough Gear Puzon that is based, the Puzon Bowie that is based on the Predator knife. And we all know what I'm talking about when I say the Predator knife. But if you need a reminder, here, if you need a reminder, imagine I'm a large Native American man. Oh! Does that ring a bell? The Billy knife. They all have it in the squad in Predator. They all have this knife. You don't see them all use it, but if you look carefully, you can see it strapped to Arnie's leg. He uses it in the beginning when he cuts the drive belt of that truck that he sends careening into the enemy camp. And, of course, Billy uses it to let blood out of his chest to, call in the Predator for a hand-to-hand fight. Ill-advised, I'd say. But everyone else has one too. And then they all have the cool survival knife. And I like that. If I were Dutch and I had my own special forces outfit that went and hunted aliens and terrorists a la the 1980s classic, I would do the same thing. I would say, you can all be in my crew. You're welcome. I love all of your particular skills. And I really respect your individuality. And yes, you can use your minigun and yes, you're a good radio guy and you can carry that revolving explosive grenade launcher, but you all have to carry these two knives. I don't care if you carry other knives too, but you're all carrying these two incredibly kick-ass knives. That's how I would run it too. So the Puzon Predator Hunter, this really does want to be in a movie. And I say, why not in one of the many reboots? I'm sure they'll make another Predator movie at some point. Why not put this in there? That would be awesome. It would be a nice, I don't know, a circling, you know, a tying the knot, tying of the bow, tying off loose ends. What am I saying? I just think it'd be a cool wraparound. All right, Puzon Predator Hunter. Plus, it's incredibly big and cinematic. It looks good, right? That's what this all comes down to. It looks good. All right, last up, I want to see this one in a cowboy movie. I want to see this on, like, a slick riverboat gambler who cheats at cards but is charming, and the ladies love him, and the guys all want to be him, you know, this guy. And he's also got a push dagger and a cummerbund, but he gets called to duels frequently, and he always calls knives. We're going to duel with knives, and this is what he brings. Yes, this is the Hogtooth Subhilt Fighter. This is a knife you've seen many times at this point on this channel. This was my 50th birthday knife. And first of all, look at the beautiful sheath work that that Matt Chase of Hogtooth Knives does. Beautiful corseted work here. But I'm going to remove this from the leather and show off this gorgeous knife. So this is the Riverboat Gambler's Subhilt Fighter. This is what he would have. Beautiful stag handle from some animal that he shot, and then he gave it to the blacksmith. And he had this knife developed after years of fighting and winning. And so he wanted to add a little flourish to it and put a couple of his own things into it, like the subhilt. That trigger is so good. It acts like a trigger. You can manipulate kind of like a drumstick or like this, but also, when it's lodged between the ribs of your enemy and you want to pull it out, this helps. So that's the movie I want to see this in. And it would be a character knife for sure. This would be like the Rambo knife of this popular cowboy type character. But it would be rated R. So you have that. All right, so this is it. This is the culminating knife in this list, I believe, because it is the most cinematic of my knives. With the pattern weld Damascus, with the stag, with the sub hilt, with the length and the double edge, to me, this is the most, All right. Well, that's been my list of knives that I would like to see in the movies. Let me know, down below what you think. I know that there are a lot of knives out there, unique, cool ones like Gus Ciccini folders should be in movies for some reason, like in some kind of capacity. Strider. I'd love to see some of our favorite tactical knives. Like, it'd be cool to see a Hinderer in a movie. You never see Hinderers in movies. So let me know down below what you think would be cool. And then join us on Sunday for another interview. And of course, tomorrow night, we're going to be giving away this Miguron Acri, and one of you will walk away with this beautiful, beautiful thing. If you want to become a patron, help support the show, you can go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon or scan the QR code on your screen. All right, for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.